Well, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Tonight, Lord, I'm going to open your word. I'm not going to stand up here and talk like I've been doing. I'm going to open your word and then talk. Hallelujah. So glory to God. Father, I praise you. I thank you for the word that you've given us tonight. You've already spoke to our hearts, Lord God, about our latter is greater than our past. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you that we can look forward to what you're doing in our lives, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So I want to talk to you tonight. I want to speak to you a little bit about purpose, okay? Destiny, that kind of thing. I don't know. Maybe you hear about it all the time. Maybe you don't. It seems like over the past few years, I haven't personally heard that much about destiny and purpose and all these things. But God has created each one of us in this room, each one of us all over the world, with a purpose in mind. I want to go to Jeremiah 29:11 to start off with. Nobody knows what that says, right?
No.
Okay.
We say it every day.
Praise God. You should. Amen. I do too. Deborah and I do every day. Hallelujah. And I'm reading from the NAS. I'll get to the King James and all that stuff in a minute. But Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Glory to God. Amen. Let me see here. I got the King James here. It's King James says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." The NIV is pretty close to the NAS, but I'll read it anyway. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I looked at that scripture pretty close today, and I'm ashamed to say that I found some things out that I didn't know. I thought I pretty much knew what that scripture was saying, but as I looked it up today, I saw like the thoughts that he has, the plans that he has. That word is devices, plans, purposes. There's your purpose. You say, "I haven't got any purpose." Yeah, you do. God said he knows the purpose that he has for you.
Amen.
I know, and the word know properly means to ascertain by seeing. Ooh. So God sees the plans that he has for you. He not only knows them, he sees them. And you know, he knows the end from the beginning, as he stands up here above time and looks down, and he knows, he sees the plans that he has for you. Excuse me. "I see the thoughts, the devices, the plans, the purposes that I think." And that word "think" is plan, esteem, calculate. I can't read this because I can't see. Imagine, or in other words, another word for all that is fabricate. So God sees the plans that he fabricates. Mm-hmm. Fabricates for you, Marvin.
Amen.
Bridget. I thought I'd say Alfred. I don't know why I did. Albert and Kathy.
Yay!
And Jennifer. And you. What's your name? Deborah.
Hey.
And me.
You too.
He ascertains by seeing the plan, the purpose that he has fabricated toward us, says, and that says is utterance, declaration of prophecy. So he is speaking as he sees and speaks those plans into being. He is speaking them by the prophetic nature of God himself. Woo! That's good. Says the Lord. And of course, that's Jehovah. All right?
Amen.
Thoughts of peace. Now, thoughts. I finally got my notes scratched everywhere up here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ah, there they are. You got that. It's the same word, device, plans, and purposes. So he knows. And these are plans, devices, and purposes of peace. And that word peace, when you look it up, is good old, glory to God, shalom, hallelujah.
Amen.
Nothing missing, nothing broken. And to me, and I think I've heard Billy Brim say this, who's usually your Hebrew expert. I think it was Billy Brim. But I was reading, I was looking up that word shalom, which is nothing missing, nothing broken, bottom line, and wholeness and all these kinds of things. And it's the same thing as what we see as salvation in the New Testament. Soteria, you know, the Greek word for salvation. So you talk about, oh man, I tell you, God's good. He got it going on. But anyway, their thoughts, their plans of shalom, which are peace, welfare, prosperity, all these things, wholeness and all this kind of stuff. They're not of evil, and we all know what evil is, so anything you think of bad, that's evil. To give, and the word give, let's see, is to put, to set, put upon, appoint, assign, designate. God's got it going on. Designated, unexpected end. Or, in other words, what you hope for, things that are hoped for, things that you're looking forward to. And I think in the NAS and the NIV, it says future, which is the same thing. So God has a plan, a purpose, a reason for you guys to be here. You know, He has it. He really does. I mean, this is not something that we make up. This is a plan that He has put. Now, I realize when you read this Jeremiah 29:11 in context, like you're supposed to do, that He's talking to Jeremiah to talk to Israel because they messed up and left Him and all that. But I'm getting ready to show you where He doesn't respect who He's talking to. When He says it, it means everybody. Now, Jeremiah 1:5, and I'm going to run through these pretty quick because I don't want to take a whole lot of time. But Jeremiah 1:5 tells us that before I formed you in the belly, I knew you, and before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet unto the nations. And that was God speaking to Jeremiah. Psalm 71, for thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee I have been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Now, the best I can find in all the commentaries is David wrote that. So we're talking about David. What difference does it make when we find out that he's not a respecter of persons? It doesn't matter, but you have to do your due diligence. So David. Isaiah 49:1 says, listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. That's Isaiah. And then we've got to throw in the New Testament. So go to Galatians 1:15-16. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, and immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now that's Paul. So there you have, and I'm sure there's more, but this is all I thought was good enough. Jeremiah, David, Isaiah, and Paul. Four people that said, written, recorded in the Word, that God called them from the womb. He put them out there. In Jeremiah's case, it says, before I even formed you, I knew you. I called you to be a prophet. I had a calling on your life before you even had a life, glory to God, as far as we know a life. All right? So that's four people. You know, okay, so what? That was Jeremiah. That was David. That was Isaiah. And that was Paul. They were great men of God. Well, if you go to Acts 10:34, again, you can go there if you'd like. I got the NAS. Let me see if I can get there quickly. We got to do something about light, Sister Fry, because I can't hardly see my own Bible. Acts 10. Woo, that's better. Thank you. 10:34. And opening his mouth, Acts 10:34, and opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. All right, so you got the King James Version. Peter opened his mouth and said, of the truth, I perceive God's no respecter of persons. That's how most of us know that verse. Peter said in the CEV, the current English or whatever all these letters mean, I am certain, I like this one, that God treats all people alike. The Good News Bible, Peter began to speak, I now realize that it's true that God treats everyone on the same basis. Then Peter, the God's Word version says, then Peter said, now I understand that God doesn't play favorites. This is good news, guys. The NAS, I just said that. I certainly know God's not one to show partiality. The New King James, I perceive that God shows no partiality. And the Weymouth New Testament says, I clearly see that God makes no distinctions between one man and another. So based on those scriptures and on what Isaiah said, based on what Paul said, David, and Jeremiah, whatever they say goes for you. And when we talk about, you know, I know in context it says, I know the plans, he's talking about Israel, but again, there's no favorites, there's no basis for I like you better than you. If I do this, because whatever he does for you, sister, he's going to do for me. whatever he does for me, he's going to do for you. And whatever he does for you guys, I mean, you know, God, he'll do it. Now, a lot of us want stuff to fall off the tree and hit us on the head, like we walk under fruit that's ripe and all that kind of thing. But it ain't going to happen that way, you know. Well, it would be nice if it did. And we could just all float on to glory. Anyway, all right, so we want to talk about destiny real quick. We don't want to spend a whole lot of time. If we don't finish, we'll go on. So
always
I'm going to go. There's always next week. That's right. Hopefully they'll come back. All right. In Jeremiah, first chapter. Glory to God. We're going to go back to Jeremiah and talk about destiny. Now, we used to do this thing as a way of an illustration and stuff. Deborah and I used to minister to children. And we were doing a thing one night teaching them about, you know, you got a destiny. And one of the things we did was we would have, like, for instance, the devil come out on stage and whoever was preaching, whether it was her or me, and harass them, you know, what are you doing here? Why are you here? This is just a bunch of kids. You know, they're not going to, you know, all that kind of stuff. They don't need to hear the word of God. Go home and all this stuff, you know. And, of course, the kids would holler and scream and shout at the devil and all that kind of stuff, you know.
You need the devil puppet. We didn't actually have the devil.
Well, he was there somewhere, I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
But we'd have a devil puppet come up. They understand, I think. Yeah. You know, trying to harass whoever was doing the preaching to get out of there because, you know, he said, well, we're teaching the kids. No, this is just a bunch of kids. They're nothing. You know, but we can turn that around and we can say, you know, why are you trying to bring destiny and purpose and all this to look around you? We're almost gone. We're getting older every day. Oh, me. You know, but just like that said, your ladder will be greater than your past. We don't need to stop preaching destiny and purpose just because we're over the age of 40. See how?
Amen.
Except for her.
Jim.
You know, we don't have to stop. I said, well, it's over now. You know, me, I'm retired. I've got my Social Security. I'm done. No. You know, I used to get on people that I know and say, you know, I'm old. No, you're getting older. You're not old. Old is up here. Yeah. Old is in your mindset. If you think you're old, you're old. And that doesn't mean you got to dress like a teenager and pull your pants down to your knees and all that kind of stuff. You know, please don't do that. But you know, it's not a matter of how old you are chronologically. It's a matter of how old you think. And if you think old in the kingdom of God, you know, well, I'm as old as Abraham. No, you're not. He's dead. He's gone, you know. Anyway, so it doesn't matter whether it's kids, whether it's adults. You know, the devil does not want anybody sitting in this room to fulfill the purpose God's placed in their life. So, enough said about that. Also, we used to have this little thing where, well, tell them about Ruby at the when she would come up.
Oh.
She's another puppet.
She's another puppet. Ruby is this unique girl puppet that we have. And we were talking, had a teaching one time about destiny and about what, you know, how to serve the Lord. Well, Ruby's a little full of herself. So she was going to come up and explain to Pastor Dennis about what a wonderful Christian she was. And that she was fulfilling her purpose and her destiny. Because she came to church every time the doors was open. You know, any time they took an offering, she always put in at least $1, you know. If they needed help with anything, she would help to a certain extent, you know. But she had her own little song, and she would come up and sing it for him. And she'd say, I'm too holy for my church, too holy for the preacher, too holy for my Sunday school teacher. I'm so holy, so holy. Because she had in her mind, because she had the biggest Bible, was always at service. She was fulfilling her destiny. That was her purpose. Mm. But of course, he had to help straighten her out that's not all we're called to do as Christians. It's not just a matter of attend church, give your offerings. That's not all there is to it. Because there's a world out there that needs the gifting, the calling that God had placed in her that was unique for her to give to them.
Amen. Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome, sir.
So, you know, there's just a couple of things, that, you know, instead of telling kids that stuff, you got to show them, you know. So that's the kind of things that we would use. And it's still, again, it's still relevant. I mean, you know, people go to church, and I think it was Pastor Steve that first person I heard had punched the clock. You know, I put in my time, ching, I did my church time, did my religion, cha-ching. Yeah, and that's unfortunate, but that's where a lot of people, and they think, I'm doing God a favor. They don't think that, but, you know, I'm doing God a favor by being here on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock or whatever it is. And yes, I'll be an usher once in a while or something like that. And, you know, they're doing their religious duty. They're paying their dues, whatever term you want to use. And that's not your destiny. That's not your purpose. All right, so let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. We'll start in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me. Well, that's New King. That's King James. We'll use the NIV. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Praise God. How many of us, if God told us that, I don't mean through some person. I mean, if God came to you and said, look, before you were born, I called you to sing to 50,000 million billion people and to be the blah, 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 blah. So go do it. What would you do? What would you do? What would you do? I called you to evangelize Africa. What would you do?
Your best to go do it.
Well, would you? That's what I'm saying.
God said it.
That's right. If God said it, we should do it. But you know, when people give you a prophetic word that you're supposed to be doing something, you have to make a decision. Was that God?
Yes.
Or was it not? If it was God, you need to do everything you can to fulfill that word. If it wasn't God, you throw it away and quit thinking about it. Because that'll kill you. You get a word, whether, you know, we were always told, if you can't bear witness to it, put it on the shelf.
Yes.
Until the time comes that you can bear witness to it. And then do everything you can, you know, that you're not doing it in your flesh to see that word come to pass. I mean, I know we've all heard stories about go down to the airport and stand around and, you know, that kind of stuff. And people come up and buy you a ticket and you go to Africa or whatever. And, you know, that's great. I'm not going to do that unless I know God tells me to do it. But anyway, you know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. You were sanctified. He set him apart and appointed him as a prophet to the nations. But what did Jeremiah say to him? Ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. Now see, this comes in very handy teaching children. But it also comes in handy teaching us. Oh, Lord, I don't know how to do that. I'm only 40. Or Lord, I'm too old to do that. Or Lord, I'm to this. I got some excuse. Let me go bury my parents. Let me go do this. Huh?
Moses. He told Moses from the burning bush, you need to go tell my people. And he said, I can't speak.
So, I mean, and Moses was what, 80 then? So, I mean, hey, I don't think any of us are 80 in here. But I'm saying we come up with these excuses. You know, oh, sovereign Lord, I can't speak. I'm only a child. I'm too old. I've got too much to do. I've got this. I've got that. But the Lord said to him, or to me, do not say, I am only a child. Do not say, I'm too old. Do not say, that time has passed. Do not say, this excuse, that excuse, the other excuse. Do not say, I can't, I won't. I've got to go to work. Don't say these things. I'm not telling you not to go to work. You know that, right? What I'm saying is, don't say whatever your excuse is. And he says, you must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Man, Jeremiah must have, you know, Jennifer, if she'd have been a boy, her name was going to be Jeremiah. And it took us a while to figure out why, other than I just liked that name. I was going to name her after Jeremiah Denton. Anybody know who that was? Okay, he's a congressman or something now, but he was in Vietnam. And anyway, but I was going to name her Jeremiah Denton Fry because this guy really impressed me. I read his story, saw it on TV, all the stuff. And I never really knew why it was Jeremiah. And then when we found out, oops, it's a girl, we had to change, you know, because We were still of the school of thought, I don't want to know if it's a boy or a girl. You know, they could have told us back then, but I didn't want to know. I want to be just like the old days. Pop! Oh, okay. Anyway, so I think it was the night before she was born, we were sitting laying in the bed, and we went, what if it's a girl? So we came up with a girl's name. It happened to be the same initials, J.D. But anyway, so, you know, and it was what, a couple of years ago? Has it been a long time? I don't know. I'm getting older. I can't remember all that. But anyway, a few years ago, whenever, I don't know, who'd you hear that message from about find yourself in the Bible? Find who you are in the Bible? I'm just making this up as I go.
No, you're not making it up. I'm just trying to figure out which one you're referring to. Are you talking about, I don't know.
Okay. Anyway.
Tim Elmore.
Find yourself. Find who you are. And Jennifer is a prophet, and she found who she was in Jeremiah. So it makes sense. Oh, okay, so Lord, that's why we were going to name her. Oh, okay. Anyway, so that's a sidetrack. We don't care about that. All right. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Oh, man. Man. I don't want to go up to that person or this person or go to that place or this place. And then he says, in case you were thinking about it, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Man, you know, God is with us wherever we go. He has put within us a purpose. He's given us a destiny that we want to be like Paul. I finished my course. I've done all I'm supposed to do. I'm ready to come home, Lord. You know, we were talking tonight a little bit about, you know, Jesus coming back. Why ain't he back? It's over 2,000 years. I mean, come on. Wow. You're supposed to be here. All the religious people say you are. Now, come on, you know. Maybe one of the reasons is just because the majority of his church is not doing what they're supposed to do. I'm not saying that's a fact, okay? That's just my opinion. You want to bring Jesus, we need to do what Jesus has called us to do, you know, individually and corporately. The church is his church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, if you look around and you see the gates of hell prevailing against somebody's local church, then you got to think, is that one of Jesus' church? I'm not pointing fingers or anything else. I'm just saying, Jesus said he was going to build his church, and the gates of hell could not prevail against it. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to get attacked. That doesn't, you know, we all know that. We're not novices here. Even Jennifer's been around this for ages, so she knows. I'm not just saying that, you know, you'll never have a problem. Always keep your promises if you... I'm sorry, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, for some reason, that kid's voice jumped in my head from that movie. But anyway, you know, it's not that you will never have a problem. We're going to have problems. I mean, we're in this earth. The devil's, you know. But, you know, when you read through the Bible, we win. You know, all those cliches that we use. God has a plan for our life. He has to... You have to know what your purpose is. We need to find out what we're supposed to be doing. He's given you a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose. And we need to wake up, get up, shake ourselves, and do what we're supposed to do. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, well, Lord, I blew it. I guess that's it for me. No, His grace is sufficient. Well, Lord, I'll do it if... No, there ain't no ifs. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. God has given us a purpose. God has placed within us a destiny. And verse 9 says, after he says, I am with you and will rescue you, then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See today, and this is Jennifer, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Wasn't that your verse? One of them. Okay. So, you know, God talked to Brother Jeremiah, and he is our brother. Hallelujah. And he told him that he had called, what he had called him to do. And just like Jeremiah, because we've already went through all the, you know, God's not a respecter, blah, 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 all that stuff. Just like Jeremiah, before you were born, God already had a plan in place for Bridget, for Marvin, for Albert. I know, Albert and Kathy, Jennifer, Deborah, and myself, and everybody. Before we were born, God already had something set apart for you to do. No matter what we think about it, God has a place for us. He has a thing for us to do. There's a place we need to be. And like Jeremiah, before you were born, he had already appointed you a certain job. And just like Jeremiah's calling was to be a prophet, he may not have called you to be a prophet. I don't know, you know. He hasn't told me. So, you know, if you're called to be a prophet, you need to be a prophet. If you're called to be an evangelist, pastor, teacher, if you're called to be a deacon, whatever it may be, whatever you're supposed to do, God has a definite plan. See, he didn't tell Jeremiah, I've called you to be a prophet. Now go find out where you're supposed to prophesy. He called him as a prophet to the nations. He called him as a prophet to Israel. If you've read through Jeremiah and Lamentations, you'll see him. He's prophesied to these people, that people. But God told him, there's, you know, just like she was talking about Ruby, you know, part of our plan for our lives is to go to church and not do bad things and all that. But that's not your destiny. That's just part of the fruit that falls off that tree. Well, I'm over the age of 40, so I can't do anything. Nobody really expects me to do anything anymore because I'm just older than everybody else. You know, again, Jeremiah tried to give those excuses. I'm just a youth. I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, I'm only one person. Lord, what am I to do? We can't have excuses. We can't do that. We need to do what God has told us to do. Well, what has God told us to do? What is God telling you to do? I can't answer that for you. Now, you may get a word from God from somebody, you know, but what is God called? Everybody here has a purpose. We need to move on through the stuff, you know, the church, universal, is waiting on us to take our place. He's waiting on us. How do you know, that the revival won't take place in this little house right here? Not saying it will. You know, I've never been into that kind of thing. I'm just saying, but we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't have any idea because God has got a purpose for each person. For Albert, see, I said it without Albert and Kathy, Bridget, Marvin, Jennifer, Deborah, myself, every one of us, and all the people, you know, that everybody in this world. I mean, there are people that are called to be apostles that are dealing drugs. There are people that are called to be teachers in the body of Christ that are just out there teaching, you know? And that's fine. That's good. They're using that gift God's given them. But if God's called them into the teaching ministry in the church, then they're missing their destiny. So, yeah. So, all right. I'm trying to move fast. All right. I do have some things that I'm going to close out with this. I've got some sayings for you. Got some sayings. Sayings. I'm a sayings kind of guy. This one is, destiny is not a matter of chance, but a matter of choice. It's not a thing to be waited for. It is a thing to be achieved. And most people say that's William Jennings Bryan that said that, old president. I've also seen it attributed to Winston Churchill, among others. But you know what? It doesn't really matter. It is a true saying. Destiny is not a matter of chance. Most of us think that if for our destiny to be fulfilled, we just got to kind of wait. All right. If I do the right thing at the right time, well, that's true. But if I just kind of float here and float there, and maybe I'm in the right place and maybe I'm not, it's a matter of choice. Decision is a big, 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 big deal. We have to dare to decide. We have to, you know, doggone it. I tell you what I did, before we moved into this house. We were over in this apartment over here on the close to EMIC, the Legends on Eagle Mountain Lake. And we were praying, are we going back home? What are we going to do? You know, blah, blah, blah. So I made a decision, and I did like Brother Copeland said. I drew me a line. Glory to God. And I said, Lord, I'm stepping over this line, and by faith, yakety yakety yak. And I stepped over that line. I didn't go back from there. And I just, that's it. And next thing I know, we're over here. Okay, Lord, whatever. You know, opened up the door for us to buy the house. I made a decision. A decision. That is a strong thing. You know, you can't operate in faith without making a decision. I used to think, now maybe y'all never thought like this, but I used to think that if I made a decision, it was my mental faculties and it was not faith. How stupid can anyone be when God gave you that mental faculty? Now, if you take and you go, let's say all the pros and all the cons, and yes, and there's stuff that needs to be done. Don't misunderstand. You got to count the cost. But if God's telling you to do something, or it's in line with the Word of God, then you need to make a decision to do it. So destiny is not a matter of chance. It's a matter of choice. You need to make a decision. It's not a thing to be waited for. Don't wait around for destiny to come to you. It's something that you need to achieve. All right. I like this one, too, by Ed Cole. Everybody knows who Ed Cole is, was, all right, except Jennifer. All right. Windows, she probably even knows. Yeah, I forgot. That's right. She came up. She grew up in my house. She knows who Ed Cole is. All right. Winners look at what they're going to. Losers look at what they're going through. Man, that's good. I tell you, that guy had some one-liners. They were great. Mm-hmm. But you think about that. If you're a winner, you don't look at what you're going through. You look where you're going. You see on the other side of that obstacle, you've made a decision. I'm going over there. My destiny's over there. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. It matters where you're going. But if you're a loser, oh, this is in my way, and that's it. Your focus is wrong. You know, if you're going to fulfill your destiny, and I trust everybody in here will fulfill their destiny, their purpose, their plan that God has for their life, you need to look at what you're going to, not what you're going through. And then good old Jesse says, Jesse Duplantis, you don't succeed because you don't know what you want, or you don't know, or you don't want it intensely enough. You don't succeed because you don't know what you want, you haven't made that decision, or you don't want it intensely enough. That's Jesse. And here's one of my favorites. And this is a good one for all of us in here. Jennifer, you can close your ears because you're not old. Older. Okay. This is John Barrymore. Anybody know who John Barrymore, the actor, was? Yeah. I guess he's dead. A man is not old, or a woman, is not old until regrets take the place of dreams. When you lose your vision and you start regretting what you did and you don't dream anymore, you're old. I don't care if you're 25 or if you're 75 or 85 or 105. If you don't have any dreams to fulfill and you're thinking about what I should have done, I wish I'd have done that. I find myself, even though I've carried this around with me for 15, 20 years now, I find myself sometimes going, and then that hits me. Oh, man, I even say, I feel old. And this is, you know, a few years ago. I'm just getting so old. Now, whoa. You got to talk to yourself. Whoa, why are you feeling so old? And then I realize, I'm regretting instead of dreaming. I should have, when I was in Richmond, I should have done this. When I was at this church, I should have done that. If we'd only done this, if we'd only done that, if we find myself regretting, and when you start regretting and your dreams, they take the place of your dreams, man, you're old. And when you're old, it doesn't matter if you're 20, 25, 30, 40, 110, whatever it is, you're old. So we don't regret. We forget those things which are behind. Put them under the blood. I would get up when I figure out what I was doing. I go, whoa. I say, Lord, I'm regretting not doing this, that, and the other. I take this sin of omission and sin of commission. I place it on you. I thank you, Lord. Your word says that if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I stand before you, the righteousness of God in Christ. It's gone. It's gone. It's gone. I don't worry about that anymore. I cast the care of it over on you. I will not regret that decision anymore. And, you know, sometimes you got to go back and keep, you know, release it two or three times. That's another thing I used to beat myself up over. Asking forgiveness over and over and over. But I learned through quitting smoking what that was all about for me. Because I'm going to quit smoking. Throw them out the window. You know, if you've ever smoked, you probably went through all that. Throw them out the window. And the next day, well, stop and get some. Of course, back then, they weren't 50 cents, so, you know, it wasn't a big deal. I wouldn't do it today. I go, whoa, $5. But anyway, I throw them out the window, ask forgiveness, Lord, because I told you I was going to quit, and I didn't. Smoke another one. I told you I was going to quit, and I didn't. I just kept doing that and kept doing that and kept doing that. And I realized, you know, finally I realized, you know, I keep going back to God, and I would condemn myself for going back to God. But if I didn't keep going back to God, it wouldn't stay fresh on my mind of what I had committed to Him to do. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, it's like Keith Moore says, the way to quit smoking, I know none of y'all smokes, but this is, you know, but anybody that tells you, I need to quit smoking, he says, go ahead and smoke all you want. Just smoke all you want. But every time you light one up, say, praise God, I'm free from nicotine. Every time you take a draw, praise God, I'm free from nicotine. Just every time, don't feel condemned over it. Just, you know, sooner or later, it'll go away. And that's true. You speak what you want, not what you got. Hallelujah. Anyway, phew, okay. Man's not old till regrets take the place of dreams. Consistency is the key to victory. Who knows who says that? All you ladies should say, Joyce Meyer! Okay, all right. Consistency is the key to victory. There are no God-made failures. There's no such thing as luck. No one can make a failure out of you but you. Kenneth Copeland. Hallelujah. And then Jesse says, faith never lets your destiny be settled by chance. That goes along with destiny. It's not a matter of chance. And this lady here, I'm not really sure who she is, but it's really good. It's Dorothea Brand. She says, all that is necessary to break the spell of inertia. Everybody knows what inertia is? And frustration is this. Are you ready for this? Act as it were impossible to fail. You know, I'm going to tell you, some of this stuff is, you know, you hear it from the gurus on TV and stuff, and it becomes rote. But when you look at it and you think about it, you go, wow, all that is necessary to get up off your can and go and do is act like it's impossible to fail. Have you ever heard in a sermon where the man of God says, what do you want to do? Then just do it and act like, what's my destiny? What's my birth? What am I supposed to do? Well, if money was no object and you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? I mean, that's something to think about and pray about. If money was if you didn't have to worry about money, you didn't have to work or anything else, and you could do or build anything you wanted to because money was no object, and you wouldn't fail no matter what it was, what would you do? I've thought about that. Sometimes I have to quit thinking about it because I go, I don't know. I'm serious. But you know, we've got to get over this failure mentality. And this last one here, I don't know who said it, but I wrote it down. Excellence can be attained if you care more than others think is wise, risk more than others think is safe, dream more than others think is practical, and expect more than others think is possible. All these things, I know they're, you know, sayings, but they go along with the Word of God. Guys, we have a destiny to fulfill individually and corporately. Covenant Faith Ministries has a destiny. It has a purpose. Yeah, there's only 6-7 of us in here tonight. And, you know, but we have a purpose. If I didn't believe we had a purpose, we'd never gone beyond the 6 weeks that we did for Love of the Father. It's just, if I didn't think there was a purpose or a reason for it, didn't have a word of God on it, if it hadn't been in our heart for years, I mean, this is one of those things. If whatever you did didn't fail, what would you do? This is one of them. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and buy a building for $2 billion without any money. I mean, I'm not foolish, all right? As a matter of fact, I'll state it here in front of you guys, this ministry will not go in debt for anything. We're just not going to do that. Just not going to do it. If it can't be paid cash on the barrel head, you know, or if we have to, you know, like some places require a credit card, if it can't be paid the next month, it's not going to be done. We're just not going to do that. So, you know, don't worry. I'm not going to go out here and be foolish. But, you know, this is part of the dream that God's placed in Deborah in my heart years ago. And it's just, you know, God has a purpose. He has a destiny. We have to believe that. If you don't get anything else out of whatever I've said tonight, then realize that God has a call on your life. See, I struggled with that when I first got saved, you know, because I was equating call with 5, 4 minutes. Now, everybody has a call. All right. So, you know, God has a purpose. He has called each and every one of us to do something. And He's called us with a specific thing. He's already knows what He's called you to do. He already knows what He wants you to do. It's our job to go to Him and say, okay, Father, help me out. What are we going to do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? What changes do I need to make? Brother, He raised you up from death, really.
Yes, He did.
Man, I mean, so He's not finished with you yet.
Amen.
And, you know, you have got a call to do something. Whether it's go back up to that hospital and minister to those people, go to the whatever, you know, whatever God's placed in your heart and your wife's heart. You guys, you're not finished yet.
Amen.
Hallelujah, yes. Sister. Y'all are not finished.
Amen.
I know that, you know, 22 million seconds or something till retirement. Was it 22 million?
A little less than
22 million seconds. Before he can retire. That doesn't mean he's going to retire. But anyway. So, you know, that may be the case. Bridget's retired, right? You're retired, right?
That's what they call it.
You're not going to a building to work, right? Okay. You know, I'm drawing Social Security. I'm retired. Not really. You know? And believe me, there's times in the past couple of years, especially if I got laid off, you know, I had all kinds of excuses. You know, I guess God's done, blah, blah, blah. No, He's not. No, He's not. He's not done with me. He's not done with you. He's definitely not done with you. He's 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 not done with you. And anybody that hears this, He ain't done with you. So
Amen.
God has a purpose. That's the main thing that I want. That's why we did these songs, you know, that we did tonight. It's a new season, guys. It's a new day. And I know that was done back at the turn of the millennium, but what has that got to do with anything?
Amen.
The anointing's the anointing. It's a new season. It's a new day. A fresh anointing's coming our way.
Amen.
We
yes.
need to step into that fresh anointing and be where God wants us to be, to do what God wants us to do, and to do it correctly.
Yes.
And that means in accordance with His Word. I encourage you. You guys say you make that confession every morning about God has a plan. Deborah and I do the same thing. I encourage you guys to do it. Take the Word of God and make it personal in your life.
Yeah.
If you feel like, well, maybe He's called me to do this, then get into the Word. Go to God in prayer. One of the things that Deborah and I want to do is help you guys do whatever it is you're called to do. Oh, I thought you had your hand up. You know, so our job is to prepare, equip, and train. That's what God called Deborah and I to do years ago. And we thought it was with kids. Not with kids, with anybody. Kids too. I mean, who knows? So, we want to help. And it's not just lip service. We want to help. Whatever that may be. Whatever that may, you know, whatever we need to do to get things in place. You know, and of course we want more people to come so we can have more resources and blah, blah, blah. You know, all that stuff. But we can't wait for 400 people to show up, and then we'll start doing what God's called us to do. No, we need to do it now. That's why we prayed, we talked about it, we asked Jennifer to assist us with the praise and worship, because she has an anointing in that area. You know, and we'll be increasing in what we're doing with the praise and worship. We talked a little bit about this last week. We'll be increasing in the praise and worship. I want to see flags. I want to see banners. I want to see, you know, I want to see exuberant worship in the house of God.
Amen.
You know? I mean, anyway, I won't get into that. It sounds like I'm talking about somebody and I'm not. You know, but I want to see exuberant worship in the house of God. I want to see us, you know, and not everybody's like me. Woohoo! You know, and that's okay. But you can go, woohoo! Or hallelujah! Or whatever God is moving in your life to do, we want that to happen. That's one of the reasons we got Jennifer. She's going to be helping us out. We're going to slowly turn, hopefully go to some more other than like this. I have to apologize again for this video that we had. It played fine. but hopefully we'll be weaning off of them and getting into, Jennifer plays a little bit of guitar and this kind of thing. And we'll get to where we're going. We're not trying to rush anything. But God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a purpose and a plan. It's a good plan. A plan to prosper. Give us hope and a future. Man, always think in those terms. Whatever plan He has for you, that purpose that He has for each one of us is good. It's a plan to increase you, to bring you to the fullest, and to show you things to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Let me hush. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank You, Lord, that You have a call on everyone sitting in this room tonight, Father. Lord, and not only us, but we're only concerned at this point right now with us, Father God. We thank You, Lord. Lord, that You are moving by Your Spirit, revealing to each one of us the plans, the pursuits that You have for us to do, Father God. So we thank You, Lord, that You are moving, that You speak to us, that we hear You. We hear You clearly. The voice of a stranger will not follow. And Father, we thank You that the enemy is defeated. Amen. You are exalted. Amen. And Jesus is Lord and everyone here in their life, Lord God. So we thank You. And Father, we just echo that song we heard tonight. Our ladder is greater than our past. Father, we thank You for it. Lord, we just give You glory, praise, and honor tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Amen.